Good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink, who's on time.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. She called her usual quarter of call that I answer that's, hi, Patty, you're running late. And she says, uh-huh. She called actually at 20 of, so 5 minutes early.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
daylight savings
time.
Oh, I did not.
Oh, that's okay.
Daylight savings time, you lost an hour.
I know.
Right.
You lost an hour and 10 minutes.
I'll never get it back.
Well, you will in the fall, but you lost an hour and 10 minutes here. We're just going to talk a little bit of news today.
A lot of news.
A lot of news today. Let's start with, and this is an important one, because we weren't positive. The Supreme Court had not announced whether or not it was going to hear the case. They were taking their briefs. The first briefs had to be in. The second briefs are due. Response briefs are due after that, mid-April. But they hadn't announced a date. This week they announced a date, April 28th, which is the last day that the Supreme Court hears arguments in this session, which means they'll probably make the announcement, as they always do, the last day.
On the last day of the session.
Which is June, I think, 28th this year.
Please be June 26th for the trifecta.
I know.
Because Lawrence v. Texas,
right.
United States versus Windsor, it would all on June 26th.
And they don't have to make a ruling this session. It's just assumed that they do. It's tradition that they do. Something could happen that they could decide we're going to wait till the fall. They could. So where does this leave us with the Fifth Circuit? The Fifth Circuit has taken 2 months now and has not issued a ruling. Patty, do you think they're going to?
I kind of think they're not. I think that they can, pedal in place all the way to June and see what the Supreme Court has to say.
And again, they don't have to issue anything. The Texas Supreme Court heard an appeal of the Texas divorce cases 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Those divorces are going on 5 years.
Yep.
5 years to get a divorce. I mean, didn't they shorten the divorce period from like a year down to, actually it was 2 years in some places, 1 year. They shortened it to 4 weeks. 5 years because our governor, who was then attorney general, decided to intervene in these two cases. They even had to change a law because he missed the filing deadline. They changed a law to allow him to intervene in these cases. So they don't have to make a ruling.
And it has been 5 years since Judge Tina Callahan, family court judge right here in Dallas County, ruled it unconstitutional.
Well, and that's where I'm counting the 5 years from. From when she first ruled DOMA is unconstitutional, and therefore DOMA?
Texas.
No. She ruled the Texas constitutional ban unconstitutional, and that's what I'm counting from. Mm-hmm. 5 years from when she first ruled and ruled, okay, and I'm going to grant this divorce.
Yep.
And then they missed the deadline. They changed the law. Greg Abbott intervened. It got appealed, got up to the Supreme Court. And it's just 2 years ago they heard that case, and they still haven't ruled. So they don't have to rule.
So if the Fifth Circuit, and I agree with Patty, it's looking like they probably won't rule. Does that indicate that if they were to rule, that it was probably not going to fall in our favor? Because if they ruled in our favor, the way it's been going, the U.S. Supreme Court has not granted those stays. Mm-hmm. That's why we have pretty much the majority of the country now has marriage equality.
Well, I'm going on the assumption that they're not going to make a ruling, but I would love to get a ruling.
I would love to get one also.
I would really, really love to, because I think it would go in our favor.
You disagree with Laurent that there's any chance that it wouldn't go in our favor.
Yeah, I think it would absolutely go in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be, people would, gasp and such because it's the Fifth Circuit, because it's such traditional.
Because it's Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and the judges on most of the judges on the Fifth Circuit, or the Fifth Circuit itself, has a reputation for being quite conservative. But I think the panel that drew this case, or these three cases, I should say, I think
based on the arguments, and you were there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, no. One was liberal, an Obama appointee. Two are conservative. Two Reagan appointees. I'm sorry, just because one of the Reagan appointees saw how absurd the arguments were doesn't mean he's not conservative. Two of those judges are very conservative.
Well, you know,
mentioning, we know now. Just
one is more conservative than the other, yes.
Right, right. But just because you're conservative, that doesn't mean you don't have common sense. Right. And that was kind of proven this week when over 300 Republicans filed amicus briefs in the Supreme Court case in favor of making marriage equality nationwide. So I thought that was really, really encouraging.
Well, I think, too, out this week was a a week before last was a study from the Public Religion Research Institute that's putting together an American Values Atlas. And only 38% of those who self-identify as members of the Republican Party also self-identify as white evangelical Protestants. And if you take them out of the equation, the Republican Party basically supports marriage equality. So to say, well, they're two conservative judges. Well, conservative may have a different meaning if they're not white evangelical Protestant conservative.
Right.
You know,
but nobody can. Well, they will. Had they ruled, they would have accused Higginbotham of being an activist judge. He was appointed by Reagan. At the time that they were appointed, I looked up a number of his decisions. He's a conservative judge. I'm not saying his rulings are not reasonable. I agreed with some of his conservative rulings. Just because it's conservative doesn't mean I don't agree with him. I'm just saying he's conservative. But conservative also doesn't mean stupid. And he's not.
No.
And he wasn't taken in by the nonsense that the state was feeding him. Greg Abbott's team, they were arguing marriage is a subsidy.
And that the idea that two people in a committed, loving relationship marrying undermines the state's stated objective that marriage is for procreation.
Because we don't have enough children that we can't educate in this state.
Right.
Right.
Or ensure.
Or like the other judge said, like straight people that are encouraging to have sex. I mean, really?
You know, and when I say that, of course we can educate all of the kids in the state. We just don't have the will to do it.
Them or insure them.
I mean educate them well. Mm-hmm. Every kid can get into school, but I'm talking about educating them well. The schools here are terrible, by and large. So what do we have to do? Do we have to wait? Nebraska this week, actually, there was a ruling, and they're law was overturned. Only two states there's been no ruling, Georgia and North Dakota. Okay, we've been saying all along, okay, Texas, you're going to be number 50. Do you think Texas is number 50?
We still got a shot.
Oh, I think we do.
Yeah, we definitely still have a shot. I think whichever, you know, we're 49 or 50, I just wonder, is Texas going to go down swinging like Alabama? Now I got to give them props.
You know, I still have this feeling.
They are going down. They are not going down without a fight.
I still have this feeling that the Supreme Court projected and understood what kind of reaction there's going to be in a handful of states, like Texas, Mississippi.
Are you talking about the United States Supreme Court?
United States Supreme Court. They know that, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Texas, Louisiana, they're going to it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. I think that's why they decided to turn Alabama into a marriage equality state, not stay the decision. It hadn't been decided by the 11th Circuit for them. This was a lower court decision
right,
that the Supreme Court refused to stay. I think what happened was they consciously said, let it play out in Alabama because we don't want to do this in Texas. That's just my thinking on it.
So, well, for those who don't know, it's been 2 weeks now since the ruling came, or 3 weeks?
I think it's been two.
It was a federal ruling, but from a federal judge that said that the ban on same-sex marriage in Alabama is unconstitutional. It needed to start immediately. They did. Well, some counties did. And one of the judges of the Alabama Supreme Court said, Chief Justice said that no matter what, he was not going to abide by the federal judge's ruling, and he would not abide by a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Now, this week, it's come out an order from the Alabama Supreme Court that said that halted all the marriages, that all marriage certificates be issued to same-sex couples. That's in direct disobedience to what the federal judge has said. So now many people are asking, okay, is Alabama, is this their way of seceding from the union?
Well, I don't know. But that Chief Justice, actually, he ordered in his role as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, ordered probate judges, who are the only ones who issue licenses and marriage licenses in Alabama, mm-hmm. not to do it, and many defied him. And I think it's a battle of wills. But it just struck me so hard yesterday when I watched on C-SPAN they replayed the all day coverage, live coverage of the March on Montgomery.
Yeah,
which is the capital of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that historic commemoration of Selma.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sounded so today.
It did. This morning, Danny and I were watching some of the old footage of the speeches that were given that day. And one of the things that they were saying was that, no, Alabama has not seceded in spite of all of this. And oh my God, like you just said, that sounds like today.
It does. I just thought it's so uncanny that, you know, here we are dealing with the Alabama Supreme Court basically defying a federal court judge.
Mm-hmm.
And will they defy a United States Supreme Court?
Do you see any difference?
It'll be interesting.
Do you see some differences from 50 years ago?
Well, the most interesting thing to me was the Alabama Conservation Service soldiers or something that were ringing the Capitol so that no one could. Alabama Conservation.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically
spelled with a K?
Probably.
Right.
Okay, here's what I see as a difference. Alabama is, especially the cities, a modern state. They have high-tech business. The cities have grown. People have gone there from all over the country. Birmingham is a quick ride from Atlanta. In the major cities, they were issuing marriage licenses.
Right.
50 years ago, the major cities in Alabama were not allowing African Americans to sit at the lunch counter.
Right.
They were out there shooting them. So there's a difference. Yes, completely parallel. And horrifyingly so,
yeah.
But there are some differences, and there are lots of good people in Alabama.
Oh, lots of fantastic people.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
And many people who are from Alabama who don't live there anymore now.
There weren't so many history. 50 years ago.
Right.
So that's a difference that I see. I think, you know, how did we get some of these nutcases that we have that are our statewide representatives right now, state representatives and statewide elected officials, because people didn't vote this election. They
right.
just didn't vote. I think that's how that Supreme Court justice got elected, too.
Well, he got blown out. I mean, he was basically fired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the same judge who said that he wanted the Ten Commandments to
a statue of the
statue, yeah.
It was like a 10-ton statue that he was ordered to remove, and he defied
have
that.
Have you ever seen the one at the Texas legislature?
I probably have. I don't recall
It's behind and facing the Capitol, behind to the left. Take a look at it sometime. There are 11 commandments on it.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's been rewritten somehow, so I'm fine with it.
Somebody edited.
They divided one of them into two, but they're definitely 11.
Okay.
You know, they're not numbered or anything, so you just have to kind of count down.
Well,
next time you're in Austin, take the time. It's just a few steps from the back of the Capitol, back to the left.
Back into the left.
Yeah.
So
count them.
So what do you guys think? Do you think that, you know, the National Guard's going to have to be sent down to Alabama to—
Yes.
to make sure the marriage licenses are issued?
See, this is what was so parallel as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what do you do when the state defies you know.
Well, Eisenhower said, what you do is you send in the National Guard. Mm-hmm. That was a Republican president who said, you obey the Supreme Court. I don't think he was against the ruling, but I don't think he was a big in favor of it. But he was in favor of what the Supreme Court rules is the law until a new constitutional amendment, a new, you know, something. That's what you do. Do I think they'll have to send in the National Guard to remove this guy from office?
Mm-hmm.
He's the problem. The problem isn't the county clerks. The county clerks were obeying.
Mm-hmm.
Even most of them, I'm really not comfortable with same-sex marriage, and they're in a rural county, you know, whatever. They're not comfortable with it because they never did it before, because they don't know any other gay people. I mean, some of them do, but they did it. They were complying. That's not the problem. The problem is him, and that's what the National Guard is going to have to come out and do. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio I can tell didn't sleep last night.
Maybe we should introduce ourselves, Patty.
Yeah, why don't you introduce yourselves, because I have no
I'm
idea.
I'm Laurel Landis, and this is
Patty Fink.
The late Patty Fink.
The late Patty Fink.
We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is David Taffet, and I'm sitting across from the late Patty Fink, as well as Laurent Landis. This is Lambda Weekly, and we're just talking news today. We were just talking a little bit about the Supreme Court. They set a date. They're going to hear the case April 28th, which means they probably will issue their ruling June 26th, 28th, one of those days.
In Alabama.
It'll be settled.
What else were we talking about?
Yeah. Will it be settled?
Oh, I don't know. I think we're going to have some drama.
Oh, I think so too.
You know, and I just wanted to point out that according to the Republican Party, there is an 11th commandment. That was Reagan's. The 11th commandment, according to demigod Reagan, is that Republicans don't badmouth Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's the 11th commandment.
That was not the one that's on the statue at the Capitol. No.
Okay. Just checking.
Interesting.
It's not. They took one of them, divided it in half, and made it into two commandments. Okay, so we think that there's going to be problems after the Supreme Court ruling, that there'll be a number of county clerks that are not going to issue licenses. It'll settle down within a period of time because it just will. It's just no big deal. In Oklahoma.
Yeah,
it's going
how many
to
states
here.
Are we looking at that we're actually possibly will have problems?
Five.
Five
six,
states or so.
Yeah.
How many states are left that don't have marriage equality?
13.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
13 if you count Alabama as a marriage equality state.
If you count, it is a marriage equality state. And we're not counting Missouri. Missouri's a funny case. Two different rulings. One of them that Missouri does have to recognize marriage is done out of state. And another ruling that said that St. Louis has to issue marriage licenses. And then a county clerk in Kansas City who said, well, if St. Louis is going to do it, I'm going to do it. So that's Missouri right now. That brings us down to 12 states that have no marriage right now. And when we say no marriage, Texas had that one marriage a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
There were in Michigan about 500 window marriages between the time the ruling was mm-hmm. issued and stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in Arkansas. So we have married people all over the place.
But no statewide marriage equality.
No.
And these 12.
Okay,
12
so
in many
so
states.
One of the things I asked before was, is Texas still going to be number 50?
I think it is. I think we have a.
I have a good reason that I think it is.
But how are we going to count it if in fact we get marriage equality via the U.S. Supreme Court? Because we're swept in right in with Louisiana and Mississippi. How are we going to do it?
Because
Dallas County will do it. Probably Tarrant County. I don't know if Tarrant County will.
Tarrant County announced
Travis
this
County.
Week that if there's a Supreme Court ruling, she will issue licenses.
Yep. Travis County, Harris County. There will be marriages. It may not be
statewide. Well, the other thing is, here's the other reason that I think we're going to end up being one of the last. In Dallas, we have judges who will issue waivers. Not so in Tarrant County, not so in some of these other counties.
Oh, you mean like for the waiting period?
When you get your marriage license, in Texas, there's a 72-hour waiting period.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get married that day. So if they rule on June 28th that, let's say, marriage starts Monday, and Monday is July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, you have to wait 72 hours. What's the next day? July 4th, can't file any marriages there. So that gets us to the 5th, 6th, 7th. We're into the second week. There's a possibility that on a technicality, we will be 50.
Uh-huh. Very interesting.
It depends on timing. Who do I think really will be the holdout? You know who I think will be? Not Texas so much. We have that one marriage
Travis County.
We have, you know, the marriage cases. I think it's going to be Georgia now. You know why?
Why?
They haven't heard a case. And so it hasn't been percolating and in the news quite as much. It hasn't been the headline news. Georgia marriage law declared unconstitutional. This is the thing that will declare their marriage law unconstitutional. And I think they're going to hesitate a little bit more. Do I think they're not going to do it? No. But do I think that they might dawdle a week longer than Texas? Yes.
Well, possibly.
And a different reason that Georgia might linger is because their state Senate this week it has to go through the lower house, but the state Senate this week did pass a license to discriminate bill. I mean, they approved it in the Senate.
Wow.
So they're actually closer to having one of those be their discussion and their percolating topic of conversation than marriage equality. And that the results of that conversation could push it out, I think.
Well, let's talk about that. What are these horrible pieces of legislation that are popping up around the country?
This is the same thing that almost passed in Arizona, that basically gave this, you know, this fake issue of forcing bakeries to bake a cake for a gay couple. But in general, these laws, like you said, they just passed in Georgia, gives any store or business on the right to refuse a gay person. Business.
It has to be based on most of these are on sincerely held religious beliefs.
Exactly.
But I think there's an interesting I just want to throw this into the mix because here's the flip side of this. In the news this morning was the case of a transgender woman at Planet Fitness in Michigan. And she went into the locker room and this woman who was another member of the club was there. And, you know, Planet Fitness touts it's no judgment. It's judgment-free zone to work out. And I assume that means for, like, people who are fat.
They've had several lawsuits for several different kind of crazy things.
But they've had but their whole premise is no judgment.
Right.
Right? So trans woman walks into a locker room. Another member believes that she's not – that she's a man. Mm-hmm. This is her words. And then complained – about it to the management, and she was kicked out of the club. Her membership is no longer valid. The woman who complained.
I wasn't expecting that ending. I hadn't heard this.
And the Planet Fitness says it's against our gender identity policy, non-discrimination. She violated the complaint process because I'm guessing she didn't fill out a card. I'm guessing she.
Wow.
She just went screaming.
She just, yeah.
Yeah. And that there are no judgment-free zone, and that is unacceptable, and she was removed.
Okay, in your opinion, in that case, it's a locker room. You know, it's more intimate in a way than a bathroom. In a bathroom, you go into the stall, you close the door, nobody sees anything. You come out, you wash your hands. Hopefully your clothes are on when you do that. Mine are usually on.
And hopefully you wash your hands.
Yeah.
We have a senator who thinks it might not be a good idea, but
yeah.
That's another show.
That's another story. But this is a locker room, so it's even more intimate, and you will see somebody who is not dressed. Okay. What, in your opinion, is appropriate as far as questioning it?
Well, wait.
Okay, go ahead.
This is why I throw this in here. This is a quote from the spokesperson from Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness is committed to creating a non-intimidating, welcoming environment for our members. Our gender identity non-discrimination policy states that members and guests may use all gym facilities based upon their sincere, self-reported gender identity.
Okay, so
So here, we have these sincerely held religious beliefs, and now we have sincere...
Okay, now we know how much confusion there is, even in the gay community, about what transgender is, right?
What
right.
gender identity is,
and how gender identity. What gender identity is, what a trans person is, lots of confusion, even in the gay community. Okay,
yes.
So what's appropriate? I don't think it's appropriate to... If she went to the manager to discuss the issue, I don't think it's appropriate to throw this person out.
I kind of disagree with that, too. But.
So, but I don't think that's what happened. Do you? You don't get that impression.
No. Okay. I got the impression she threw a very big disturbance fit.
Yeah.
So which one do we want? The transgender person who quietly goes into the fitting, into the locker room, changes,
to go work
leaves,
out.
Go, you know, comes in, works out, is friendly? Or do we want this person who... Now, the other thing is... Is it possible that this person has thrown a fit about other things? Because we usually find that people who throw fits about one thing, other things too.
Well, I think probably what happened is not only did she throw a fit, she probably demanded that the policy be changed. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, take it or leave it.
Yep.
And she left it. That's probably what happened.
And I'm kind of thinking that that's... kind of what happened too.
Yeah.
So,
but I do think it's interesting because, I mean, for all of these bills, these crazy bills, the license to discriminate, especially the ding dong up in Oklahoma.
Oh, Sally Kern?
Not Sally Kern, Silk.
Oh, Silk, that one. Yeah, explain that one.
He's a state senator in Oklahoma, said that businesses should have the right to refuse service to those people, meaning gay people,
mm-hmm.
that they should not expect to be served
in every store. Right. But I have friends who are gay.
Yeah. They always
and you know something? He does. You know who? Al McCaffrey, who is a state senator. He knew him real well, I'm sure. Because the Oklahoma State Senate's not that big. They all know each other, and they know each other well.
See, I have a problem when they refer to these gay people as friends.
Of course, they're not friends.
Maybe my definition of a friend is something totally different.
Just so you know
some gay people.
I mean, because, you know, Glenn Maxey was the first openly LGBT state legislator.
In Texas.
Had said in the past that, you know, folks like George W. Bush even would say, you know, like, you know, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those other people.
Right.
And he's like, and, you know, Glenn had to say, no, you're talking about me. Because I do think that they think, well, these people that they work alongside, like Al McCaffrey in the Oklahoma State Senate, that they're different somehow from
other gay
people.
Well, because they made it to this position like I did. So you're different.
You're the outlier. You're different.
Right.
And I can respect you. But it's all those other people mm-hmm. we can't respect.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think they think.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, going back to this transgender person, I am sure that she didn't just go in, question the policy. They sat down, they had a nice talk. This is our policy. People are welcome and sincerely held, and this is what it means. I'm sure that's not what happened.
I'm sure it's not what happened.
Yeah, exactly. So, but
there was judgment.
Nice to hear. There was judgment.
Yes.
It's nice to hear that there was a company that, in a setting like a locker room, we hear all the hysteria about bathrooms. Like, God knows what happens in bathrooms other than peeing.
The occasional number two, I'm sure. But, you know.
but how much
Patty
are we...
Patty went there. You
know, I did.
The whole Plano ordinance and the repeal of the ordinance and the hysteria about the ordinance is about bathrooms. And part of the reason they threw it out was that on the petition it was talking about bathrooms. And the city said, our law has nothing to do with bathrooms.
Right.
We don't mention bathrooms in our law.
In fact, the statements about bathrooms actually fall in the favor of the bigots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't support trans people.
Right.
That the only statement letting everybody off the hook so they can openly discriminate.
Right. But when you're talking about locker rooms, whether it's a female locker room or a male locker room, I mean, unless you were just born yesterday, you're going to see somebody nude every once in a while.
And if you were born yesterday, you probably seen nude people.
Exactly.
And the bassinets around
you. Exactly. I mean, good point. I mean, big deal.
I'm not saying it's a big deal. I'm saying the big deal that people make with a bathroom, a locker room's even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you do have naked people next to each other, and you don't in a bathroom.
Right.
So anyway, some of this horrible legislation, what are some of these laws? Everybody is up in arms in Oklahoma about a bill that Sally Kern had introduced. Sally Kern is this right-wing nut legislator, and she introduced legislation, had to withdraw it because it was clearly unconstitutional, got reworded. She reintroduced it that, again, it was the clearly held religious beliefs. I'm not worried about her legislation passing simply because she's been in the legislature, I think, 8 years. She's never passed a bill. Other than maybe,
really?
Yeah. Other than maybe, congratulations to so and so, and here's an Oklahoma State flag for you. And those regularly everybody passes. Yeah, no, she has never passed any major piece of legislation.
That's
interesting. Yeah, she's useless. But around the country, these are passing. When we're talking about sincerely held religious beliefs to discriminate, wow. Isn't that what, again, going back 50 years to Alabama, I have a sincerely held religious belief that black and white people shouldn't sit at the same lunch counter.
Exactly.
I have a sincerely held religious belief that Patty and Laurent shouldn't be sitting at the same desk across from me.
Or that we shouldn't get married.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's astounding that in 2015 that such laws even make it out of committee.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone get passed.
And there's some.
It's just, I don't know. I think that if there's ever a bigger cry and a need for an end to be passed, this is why. This is what we've been talking about.
And certainly in public accommodations.
Yes.
You know, but I think there's really two tiers to this in the way these laws are being crafted. One would allow retailers, if you're, you know, a business open to the public, yada, yada. The other would allow that and allow people who are employed by the government, people who are employed as first responders, as
That's one of the worst ones.
Yeah, that is one of the worst ones.
People in hospitals, doctors and nurses and everyone to suddenly refuse.
Doctors and nurses to absolutely say, I will not give treatment to this person?
Yes.
Wow.
And first responders, who, like, the fire department would come up and, you know, one of them would say,
I'm not serving somebody. This is Oak Lawn. I'm not serving anybody.
Well, was it just like a week or so ago? It was in the news that a lesbian couple who just had a baby, the pediatrician refused to treat the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do have other questions, like
How'd they find this pediatrician?
Yeah, it's like, okay. I mean, I've been through the process.
When you were looking for a pediatrician, what did you do before you brought
We went and interviewed.
Gabrielle.
This was way before Gabrielle was even made it into the world. We went and interviewed three different pediatricians, and then we selected based on that. So they knew from get-go.
What types of things did you ask? You had to have asked more. You were interested in more than just, is it okay to treat the child of a same-sex couple?
Well, actually, we never even brought that up, but they obviously saw it.
Because the two of you were there.
Exactly. We both went. And it was funny because one of the doctors we went to go see was visibly, like, I'm not going to say shaken. I don't want to over-exaggerate.
Surprised.
But she was very surprised.
Okay.
But we just asked questions like, you know, well, what hospital do you use? Because mm-hmm. they all use different hospitals mm-hmm. for emergency rooms for the child. How do you treat children? Because they all have their different theories on how exactly how to treat children. Because
you
don't treat them
you
like.
You took the one who beats kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But those type of things.
But the two of you went together to meet
exactly.
The pediatrician.
So by the time we actually brought Gabrielle in, I think she was like 3 days old, there was no surprises.
Mm-hmm.
There was no surprises.
She was delighted to see that you had a child.
Yes.
Oh, your pediatrician's a he.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
He was delighted
to
see.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
That's the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised. We're like, okay, that's awful what the doctor
did.
So
we only have 2 minutes, and while we're talking doctors, Dr. Ben Carson, who's running for president of the United States.
Carson,
not Carlson.
Yeah, Carson.
Story there.
What an idiot. But he wants to click the undo button. Now
he does.
He's apologized and he wants to undo that, but he really can't. You know,
he really can't
undo. It's pretty sad. He said that basically people who are gay are are gay by choice, because just look at the prisons. They go in straight, they come out gay. Ask yourself that question. That's what he told us.
Yeah, him saying that homosexuality or being gay is a choice is no surprise. There's a lot of people of that opinion. I just seriously disagree with it, but whatever. But his theory on how we become gay,
it's just
like, okay, are you serious? It's almost laughable. It's like, I'm not even going to respond to that. And, you know, Kathy Renna had posted on Facebook, and my response was like, I don't recall ever being in prison. she got a big kick out of that. But it's true. It's like, okay, most of my gay friends have never been to prison.
Here's what frightens me. If I ever need brain surgery, I want to know that that doctor is one of the brightest people who has ever gone to medical school. This guy's a brain surgeon.
Yep.
And he's gotten accolades, but he is not a man of science, clearly.
Clearly. Well, how are you a doctor? Not even common sense.
Now, I could see had he said, you know, we still don't know exactly how people become gay, because we don't.
Right, we don't. But there certainly are no studies that state and conclude, based on scientific process,
that you go into prison straight.
That if you go in, that you, when you go to prison, you can become.
But okay, so here's what frightens me: someday I might need brain surgery. How do I weed out idiots?
You go and interview them. You ask them some basic questions.
I wonder. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis. We'll be back with our entertainment report right after this. And it's time for the entertainment report.
All right. Though he's become the go-to man for hosting award shows in the past 3-4 years and usually gets rave reviews, many are disappointed with Neil Patrick Harris's performance at the Oscars a couple of weeks ago. Said he fell flat. Will he ever do it again? He said, I don't know that my family nor my soul could take it. It's a beast. It was fun to check off my list, but for the amount of time spent and the understandable opinionated response, I don't know that is the delight balance to do every year or ever again. I don't know. I just watched bits and pieces of the Oscars this year. I thought he did okay from what I saw.
Oh, I thought it was real mediocre. I didn't watch
that much of it. I didn't watch all of it.
We watched most of it.
And you kind of fell flat too?
I mean, I felt bad for him because I thought maybe writers had written some jokes for him that he...
And you know, I did hear someone say that. It's not necessarily him. It was the writing. The jokes were just not that
good. Some of the jokes were just, you know, kind of off-putting.
Really?
Like, one of them, he, you know, like, haphazardly said this joke, but, you know, there was a woman who won for, I think, one of the documentary categories, and was quite serious in talking about the subject matter of her short film, and had a dress on that was, and it was a joke that really fell flat about how could she wear that dress kind of thing. I was like, really? I mean, that doesn't sound like him for one.
No.
And I thought,
no,
they've put words in his mouth that forcing him to say this stuff, and I don't think he wants to.
You know, the Tonys know him.
Yeah, they do.
And they write for him. I think here they were writing for a host. Happened to be Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah, okay, here's your stuff.
Oh, that's too bad because he really is good.
He really is fantastic.
Yeah, and it fell flat.
Yeah. Time Magazine just released their 30 most influential people on the internet. And making a list from our community, LGBT community.
Were we there?
One, transgender activist Janet Mock.
So we weren't there.
No, we weren't there.
Was George Takei there? He usually is.
No.
Really?
That's
surprising.
Because he was like right up there.
Okay, so Janet Mock, who else?
Janet Mock, and that's it.
Oh.
That's it. That's all they have.
Who's number one?
I didn't look at the whole list, but this is the one from our community. The author of Redefining Realness, My Path to Womanhood, Identity, Love, and So Much More. You know, she's, you know, made a name for herself, and particularly for criticizing Piers Morgan on his show for referring to her as formerly a man until the age of 18. And then, you know, I have my issues with Janet Mock. I'm surprised. What's her name? From The Orange Is New Black,
Laverne Cox.
I'm surprised Laverne Cox wasn't on this list. Also,
well, that's internet.
Internet. I still think she's pretty funny.
It's like Facebook, Twitterverse.
Yeah.
Orange is the New Black is on.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. That is the internet.
Yeah. So I don't know. Interesting. Huh. But congrats to her, and also congrats to actress and talk show host Sarah Gilbert and her wife, music producer Linda Perry. Sarah just gave birth to their first child last weekend. It's a baby boy who they named Rhodes Emilio Gilbert Perry. And Sarah and Linda were married just a year ago. So congratulations to them.
And she also has kids with Allison Adler.
That's right, who she was with for 10 years.
Yeah.
But she wasn't the one who was pregnant. This is her first pregnancy.
Yeah, this is Sarah's first pregnancy. Yeah. So, and last, the ABC show that features a family headed by a lesbian couple called The Fosters, which I've never seen.
It's great.
I hear it's great.
It's really great.
Just made history last week by showing the youngest same-sex kiss in television history. The kiss was between two boys who were 14 years old. Now it's drawn some praise and some criticism. Former Lambda Weekly guest and co-creator of the show, Peter Page, defended the kiss, saying, "If people wanted to judge it, I think maybe they should watch it and be careful how we delicately and chastely handled it. We are not here to sensationalize or exploit anyone." I hadn't seen the kiss, but I don't think it's that big a deal because I can't tell you how many times we've seen kids even younger than that straight on TV have their first kiss.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I mean,
it's only sensationalized because it's a gay kiss.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that's like when the first lesbian kiss on TV was on the Roseanne show. It was Mariel Hemingway and
Sandra Bernhardt.
Right.
It was sensationalized. It was a kiss.
It was a kiss.
Yep.
Yeah.
No more, no less than thousands of other heterosexual kisses. So, you know, right. I'm up to here with... It's sensational. It's, you know, enough of that.
I didn't know that Peter Page was involved in that show.
Oh yeah,
it's great.
Oh, yeah.
It's a biracial lesbian couple.
It is. And
it's
his close friend who came down here when he came down, and
Abraham
Higginbotham. He is one of the co-writers of the family's ABC
Modern Family.
Modern Family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you watch the credits, his name comes up every week.
Hmm. Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I have a couple of things. Sean Baugh, who was on our show late last fall, he was named the permanent artistic director for Turtle Creek Corral. They said they had a couple of other people. You know, it was known that the Corral didn't have a permanent artistic director. They hadn't really advertised the position, but they had some inquiries. And they said Sean was far and away... loved by the Corral and has been doing a great job. He's been bringing up attendance, bringing up membership in the Corral, and doing everything that they want. And so they named him permanent artistic director, which
good
is great to see.
Congrats, Sean.
Yeah. He's going to reduce his hours at Cathedral of Hope, although he'll still have his Thursday rehearsal and Sunday morning worship services because the music. Have you been to a Cathedral of Hope service recently?
Yes. The music has always been phenomenal.
But yeah, it is.
They have a full orchestra.
Yes. Yes. A full orchestra and choir. The music, though, has always been wonderful, and it's gone from wonderful to through the roof. And this is the Jewish guy saying this. But, you know, and it's funny because I was there several times to listen to some of the speakers who were there from different denominations. And each and every one just looked over at them and said, "My God, this is absolutely magnificent. No wonder you're the biggest gay church in the country." Listen to that. They're fabulous. He's reducing his time there. He'll be full-time with the Corral now, which means more time to work on producing new records, new CDs, more individual shows, fundraising shows, all kinds of stuff like that, which is great to hear because I really want the Corral to be on the right track.
Yeah.
It's such an important pillar in our community. One other thing I did get to – I saw two shows this past week. I saw Kinky Boots. It's still playing at
Music Hall.
You know, I really liked it. I don't like the music. And I really wanted to love this show because an ex of mine is the main producer on this show, and it's doing fabulously. I really, really liked the show. I just don't love the music. But the other show I went to see, we went over to Fort Worth and saw Steel Magnolias.
Oh, wow.
And it was a wonderful production, first of all, and it's ended its run. But afterwards, we went backstage. Ruta Lee was on our show two or three weeks ago.
Yeah.
And
she was a delight.
What a character. We loved her here. I walked in. She was already here, and I got here at 12 o'clock. She was already here. We started talking, and we looked. We said, it's 1 o'clock. We have to run into the studio. We came in. We just continued our conversation.
Yep.
When I walked backstage, there was a whole crowd of people, and she said hello to several other people. Then she looked. She said, you came. And she said, thank you so much. She said, thank you for what you did. I really appreciate it. How many times do we hear that from people?
Wow. Yeah.
But what a sweetheart. What a sweetheart she is. So I asked her, so what's your next show that you're going to be in? And I saw the schedule, and I picked the one that would be the least obvious, and she just laughed and said, no, I don't think I'm going to be in a depressing production like that. But she said next time she's back, she's happy to come back on the show.
Good.
We had a ball with
her. We
did. She was so funny and so entertaining. I'm sorry that I didn't get to see it, to come on the show, and that it had another week, and it just doesn't have another week, because I'd say, especially if you're in Fort Worth, run. It's a wonderful production. Yesterday, Stonewall Democrats had their endorsement meeting all day long, and I sat through all of it. It was really very interesting. They endorsed a number of names, and, you know, it's names that you wouldn't know. There's no point in our even talking about them. But the interesting one, and this is not the final endorsement. The final endorsement is made at their meeting on membership meeting a week from Tuesday. But these are the recommendations to the entire membership. They endorsed Ron Keough over Rawlings for mayor. I was shocked. I was shocked.
And are you shocked with Mayor Rawlings?
Okay,
just did.
So what did he just do?
He just signed on with hundreds of other mayors in their amicus brief that they are submitting to the Supreme Court in support of marriage equality nationwide.
And the controversy about him doing that?
Well, it's been a number of years now. The Freedom to Marry organization had enlisted a campaign of mayors to sign a pledge in support of marriage equality, and for a long time, even today, until last year, I suppose, he signed on last year, but up until then, Mayor Rawlings had refused to sign the pledge, and he was the only mayor of the top 10 cities in the country.
Right.
Who didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so he explained that yesterday.
He did.
And he said, you know, I don't like pledges. We've been through that. Please believe me, there were a whole bunch of other pledges I was asked to sign, and I didn't sign any of them. I was not picking this one out. I'm taking them at face value. This is what he said. And then he also said, but I do support marriage equality. And you know what? This brief and my signature on it could actually make a difference, and I wanted to make a difference.
Good point.
And good for him. I hope it does.
I hope it does, too.
Most people were thinking, I think, most people that I talked to afterwards, you know, why did you vote one way or the other, were thinking too little too late, or they were thinking, it's not going to make that kind of a difference that he thinks it's going to make. Well, one signature, how much can one signature make? But he feels this is the do or die. This is, we're going to have marriage equality the end of June. And he does want to be on the right side of history. He has been, actually. I mean,
he has been. He's been fully supportive of the LGBT equality resolution at the Horseshoe. And I do think that some votes came along because of his support.
Yes.
So
he gave them cover.
Certainly.
Anybody who was kind of wavering, well, the mayor's voting for it, so I can vote for it, too.
You know, because that vote was 13-2, and it could have easily, all we needed was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 8, but that was great that we had more than that.
Right.
I think that he's, I think he came around a lot sooner than just this amicus brief,
It wasn't just this. He's been on our side, but this is the first here it is, I'm signing this, and
outside Dallas.
Yeah. And big stage.
Right.
You know, but like you said, this is the do or die. This is the important one. This is the moment of truth, and he wants to be part of it. And he hopes that his signature here, and I think his thinking is almost, I'm the one that was holding out, and now I'm even in favor of it. So, and that's where it does make a little bit of a difference. What if all 10 top 10 city mayors had signed it? He couldn't then say, and now I'm signing it. Well, you signed the last one, too. So,
right.
Anyway.
It's less surprising that Anise Parker signed it.
Right, right. Anyway, well, yeah, the guy, his name is Ron Keough, very intelligent man, came to speak. Now, one of the issues that everybody was talking about, everybody was asking, and people did not get endorsements if they were for the Trinity Toll Road. That's how passionately people at Stonewall, Democrats, feel about not building that that toll road, and that swayed enough people away from Rawlings, I think. You know, people
well, that
did
certainly
not,
is going to be a divide in the mayoral race, for yeah, sure, is yeah. the issue of the Trinity Toll Road.
Now, the only thing is, can a non-incumbent, you know, Rawlings has as much money as he needs to win. Can a non-incumbent win against an incumbent who is very well-funded? Apparently, he has a very qualified campaign staff. He has a campaign in place. He has a strategy to win, and we'll see. But that's who...
he's a very serious candidate.
Mm-hmm.
There is one that that is not quite so serious, who's going to be a write-in candidate, Richard Sheridan.
Oh, he's on the ballot. He's not on the ballot?
Oh, he's on the filings as a write-in.
Oh, okay. Ah, interesting. I didn't realize that because he was also there yesterday. It was the first time.
Totally surprised me when Aaron came back from that.
What was surprising was he said, you know, gay people have the right, because he's completely nutso on our issues. You know, he'll talk homelessness and other things like, and then all of a sudden it's, and because of the sodomites. Yeah, I get 5 emails from him a day. He said, you know, gay people have the right not to be harassed. They have a right to keep their jobs as long as they keep who they are quiet. Now, what he meant was keep your personal life at home. Well, if that's the company culture, yes. But don't tell me to keep my life home and you can, you know, broadcast yours at work. You know, we need to do it equally.
Which I think is extraordinary because he's gone from ranting and railing against us from afar mm-hmm. to ranting and railing against us, you know, at a LGBT event.
Up close mm-hmm. and personal.
So that's right. That's a big advance for him.
It kind of is. It kind of is.
Because usually we get stuff like, here's why I'm not coming.
Right.
Joel Burns posted something. We only have a minute. Posted something very funny on Facebook. He's back in Fort Worth this weekend. Somebody came up to him and said, or he identified himself. He said, "Yes, I'm Joel Burns." And they said, "No, Joel Burns died." And he said, "No, I'm Joel Burns." "No, no, no. I remember there was an election. We replaced him, and he."
Oh,
oh
my God!
Yeah. Wow.
"No, no, no. I'm that Joel Burns."
He and I have something in common.
Uh-huh.
You know, the late Patty Fink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha. Exactly, exactly.
we should talk.
That brings us to the end of another Lambda Weekly. We will be back next week with more talk. We'll have a guest. We haven't confirmed who the person is. We have several people lined up, and we'll be back next week. We'll see you then.